Well, Melissa Ingram, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Thanks, Ray. I'm well. So glad to be here with you.
I'm happy that you're here. I've been trying to get you here for a long time.
Finally made it happen.
Yeah. So I got to say thank you so much for allowing me. Last year, I had the opportunity to work with you guys during the American Black Film Festival, ABFF, and I went down as a red carpet correspondent for your amazing show, In the Loop, and I had such a great time.
Oh, and you were amazing, right? So I need to be thanking you answering the call.
That trip was a much-needed trip,
but
I had so much fun, and the festival was just, oh my gosh, amazing.
It's the best Black film. It's the best film festival, period.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if people haven't experienced the American Black Film Festival, ABFF, happens every June prior to Father's Day weekend in Miami, and it is the best time to see yourself and to really be invigorated by what's happening in our industry.
Yeah. Wow. So today's show, we're focusing on Black Girl Magic. As you know, March is Women's History Month.
Yes.
And just wanted to put a spotlight on amazing African-American women such as yourself who are doing wonderful things in the world of television, film, entertainment, music, all that kind of stuff. And you are the general manager of Aspire Network.
Yes, Aspire TV.
Did you ever see this for yourself when you were a student, an English major over at Spelman College?
Absolutely not. I was always that student and that kid that knew exactly what she wanted to do. I was a planner. So I knew when I left Los Angeles at 17 years of age to go to Spelman College, I was going to leave Spelman College, go back to California for law school, and I was going to be this entertainment attorney. I was going to primarily represent artists, music producers, and you know, publishing deals. And I never thought I would be in the space of television. But I do know, I'm a very spiritual person. You know this about me, right?
Yeah.
That I believe that God positions you and puts you in places because he has purpose for your life that he needs for you to fulfill. And so that's what he did with me, right? So I left law school, came back to Atlanta. Again, I never thought I'd be back in Atlanta. I thought I was going back to LA, right? I want to be in this music business. And started working for one of the largest Southeast law firms, Alston & Byrd here. Did labor and employment for 2.5 years. Knew that that wasn't what I wanted to do, right? And so I left and started working with the small boutique entertainment law firm here in Atlanta, representing artists, publishing deals, doing music clearances, and happened to get a call from a partner at Alston & Byrd who said, "Hey, I know you left. One of my great friends from law school is, you know, general counsel over at Gospel Music Channel. It's here in town. They're looking for a young attorney." And I'm like, "Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'll go meet with them. But I'm kind of good. I'm learning a lot and running my own business and learning a lot." Met with this attorney at Gospel Music Channel, and we hit it off. Great guy. And I didn't get the job. And I was like, "Okay, what's happening, Lord?" And God was just like, "It's not your time." Year later, reached out. "Hey, do you remember me?" He was like, "Absolutely, I remember you." Offered me a job, contracts manager. Wasn't counsel. It wasn't actually requiring somebody with a law degree, but God was positioning me. Mm-hmm. Got in there, never acted like this is just a contracts manager job. I brought all my skill set to it, and then promotion after promotion after promotion. Fast forward in 2012, Magic Johnson Enterprises partners with Gospel Music Channel and their boards to launch a network called Aspire TV. My boss goes over to BGM, and I follow him to run business and legal affairs. And then 3 years later after that, he leaves, and I step into the position of GM.
Yeah. So let's, you know, you're among an elite group of African-American women that are currently GMs for television networks. I'm going to run that list down. Michelle Rice, who's over at TV One.
TV One and Cleo.
Tina Perry.
Yes.
Who's over at OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network, and then you.
Yeah.
So do you pinch yourself? Do you say, "Why me"?
I don't say "why me" anymore. I did, Ray. I did used to question a lot. And God was very clear with me, because I've got work for you to do. I've given you a vision, and wherever God gives you vision, he gives provision. And so he has given me confirmation all along that this is the work that he has for me to do. He's given me a vision for this network. And he's blessed me with an amazing team that is behind the vision and executes it so well and believes in the vision. And so I've stopped asking the you know, "Why is this happening to me?" Like Congressman Cummings said, you need to ask, "Why is this happening for me?" And so that has sort of been the lens in which I approach, you know, "Why is this happening for me? What is it, Lord, that you have for me to do?
Yeah.
And it's to change the face of television for a particular underserved audience, a remarkably special audience, the Black audience.
Yeah. You're listening to the voice of Melissa Ingram, General Manager for Aspire TV. You guys have such amazing programming. And, you know, we hear the term General Manager. Let me go back. We hear the term General Manager a lot, but take us through a day of what it's like to be a General Manager for a network. Because it's very different from being the General Manager of a store, right?
Yes.
Or even a business.
Yes.
You know, like an insurance company or something like that. So what is it like to be the General Manager of a network?
National Cable Television Network.
Yeah, National, yeah.
I wish there was a typical day, but I will tell you sort of what my responsibilities are.
Okay.
My biggest responsibility is to lead and develop the team.
Okay.
Serve them, right? So I have a team of 12 people of color. 11 of them are Black women.
Okay.
And so pouring into them, understanding where they're at, where their skill sets are, where they need to grow, highlighting them. Just helping them become the best version of themselves. I also oversee the brand. So I'm responsible for being out, talking to people like you, Ray, sharing the vision for the network, and also, you know, building relationships with talent and content producers. That's another large part. So we have, and I'm just going to throw a little plug in here because I adore her and I'm really excited to be working with her, Nakia Stevens, who is the founder of Damn Right Originals.
Okay.
They are a content creation company, millennial driven, but they are creating some really dope super short films.
Okay.
Original short films. And so we're partnering with them to start doing original Aspire short films. And so I'm responsible for going out, strategizing, and bringing in partnerships. Another big part of my job is to oversee programming. So I have a great head of programming who sort of casts the vision there and brings it to me. And then we sort of figure out, okay, how is this all going to roll out? What does this look like?
And how does it, because that's one of my questions, how do you determine if a program works or if it doesn't work?
Yeah, so there's filters that we have. Aspire has, as a Black culture and urban lifestyle network, we look at how the Black audience does these five things: eat, live, shop, play, and dream. So eat is sort of your traditional culinary cooking show. Live, home interior design, shopping, anything from fashion, to even maybe hair in makeovers.
Okay.
And then you move into play, which is really what does the Black audience like to do for fun.
Right.
We have a lot of iconic series that sort of fill that bucket. My Wife and Kids and Living Color. We love to laugh. We love music. We love sports. So we have our pillar of HBCU sports that lives on our network. And then most importantly, how does the Black audience dream? So when we look at our program, we look at sort of what bucket does it fit in? And then at the end of the day, we want our audience to leave feeling proud about what they've seen. Not necessarily positive, right? But something that you can say that's authentic and reflective of experience that I've had.
Yeah.
We often look for talent that's going to resonate. So if it doesn't work with the 12 people of color on my team, it's not going to work for the 35 million people out there in the households that we're in. And so we try to be very strategic to know and involve the entire team in that process of saying, what do you think about this? Take a look at this sizzle. And sometimes we get, you know, on the edge. But majority of the people will, if it's a good show, they'll be like, there's something there. Yeah. Let's move forward.
Yeah.
So those are sort of some of the filters that we look at. And, of course, just engaging the entire team because we are the audience.
Let's talk about, you mentioned faith. Let's talk about how faith has played a role in your success as a general manager.
Ooh. I owe it all. I owe it all to God. I mean, quite honestly, I can't take credit for it. Yes, I've been in positions that I've had to work for and develop skill sets, but it's really God orchestrating. So when I look at sort of this trajectory of me going from Bellman College, well, going even back, Los Angeles, California, and being a preacher's kid, you know, I've grown up in a house of faith. And so I've always witnessed sort of things that, you know, your mom and dad always say, like, that ain't nothing but God, right? But then when you sort of grow up and have your own experiences with him, and you see the confirmation and you see him providing in ways and shifting things, you're like, oh, this ain't me.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with me. And really, when I approach my job, I say, you know what, this is all for his glory. So if people only hear me say that this is God and not me, I'm okay with that. If you don't listen to anything else that I say. know that it's all for His glory.
What woman has inspired you since this is Women's History Month? Who stands out in your mind as someone that has really inspired you in your career?
You know, I think it might be cliche, but Michelle Obama is, and I've been reading Becoming, I'm almost done with that. And when we talk about seeing yourself, just her ability to be so authentic and transparent with her experiences. And I see myself in so many points with her being an attorney and sometimes having that self-doubt and questioning what your purpose is. Mm-hmm. And just some of the struggles that she's experienced, and then being married to a very dynamic Black man who is also very driven.
Yeah.
I just really, it resonates with me. I'm always captivated by her humility and by her integrity. So I think she, on a day-to-day, is just a woman that I model and amazed by her strength and resilience to be the first Black first lady and to have been, you know, just really dealt a bad hand and the negativity that comes with all of that. And she still just continues to go high. That, to me, is something that we all should be admiring to be more like, honestly, yeah, as Black women, and her support for other women of color is something that you can't deny.
What lessons have you learned from your boss, Magic Johnson?
Oh, my gosh.
Because that's got to be amazing, you know, being able to work.
It's amazing. Yeah. And we just premiered last month for Black History Month, an hour special with him talking about so many experiences. And so if you haven't seen it, check out Aspire.tv. Find it on our schedule because it's a must-see. With him and Chris Spencer. And this is, for me, it was almost like the days of Arsenio Hall, right? Okay. Because we don't have any Black men on television.
Yeah. No.
And so you, for the first time, for me in a long time, this is my first time seeing two Black men chop it up and talk about life experiences. And it was such a beautiful thing to see. So please go look at that. But one of the things that he is so, he is known for is giving credit to others, right? Putting others before himself and giving light to, and you saw him do it with Kobe, right? And people are always trying to compare Mr. Johnson to others, right? Oh, is Michael Jordan better? Is Kobe better? And if you ask him, he will always tell you somebody else is better than him,
yeah,
right? And that he's just glad that he was able to open the door, pave a way, but they're going to do better and they're going to go further than me. So that is definitely something that I've learned, to always give credit where credit is due and put others before yourself, elevate your team. And then surround yourself with the right people, right? I think Mr. Johnson's very clear and will tell you what he does not know, but he will surround himself with the team that does. And so I think that is such a great lesson that I've taken. Like, there are things that you can't know it all, but you can really get people who do and who are very instrumental in sort of helping you learn what you need to learn, and people that you can trust.
We're at the end of a decade, and we're about to go into a new decade. So where do you see Aspire after 2020?
I see Aspire being the only, well, let me not say the only, because we don't have enough content for our people. But I do see Aspire being the number one destination for Black culture and urban lifestyle content. So, and I know people might say, well, what is that? What does that look like? What does that mean? So I've talked about the pillars of eat, live, shop, play, dream, but really more content that empowers our audience to not just eat, but eat well, not just live, but to live their best life, not just shop, but shop with intention and purpose and know who's behind the products that you're buying, not just play, but play hard, and not just dream, but most importantly, dream big. The vision for Aspire is to be that destination where our audience can come and see themselves being reflected in everyday experiences, to not necessarily have to watch. They can watch some of the general market lifestyle networks if they choose to, but to know that there's a place that they can trust and see themselves being authentically represented. That's the vision for Aspire and beyond 2020.
Yeah. Well, Melissa Ingram, thank you so much for being a guest today,
Ray,
on Upfront.
So much fun.
I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank
and
you.
Much success to you.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Thank you.